is our tent meetings for tomorrow night and Tuesday night have been canceled too. So we're gonna pass on those. Thought it might be tough for the flute player when it's below zero. Good to see each one of you today and welcome you. Great opportunity for us to be together this morning to worship, and I can't think of a better way to start the new year than to be together with God's people. Very blessed to be here this morning. If you could remember to pray for Becky, she's under the weather and struggling along, so we've had quite a week. My aunt had passed away. We went downstate, quick trip, 300 miles each way, did a funeral back, and so both a little tired. God was good, though, as he always is. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for this opportunity at this juncture in history that we can be together. I thank you for each one that have come today. Would you pour out blessing on them? Challenge each of us in our thinking and our doing. We're relying on you. We're asking your help. There are great needs in this congregation, from physical to spiritual. We need your encouragement. We just stand as those who have come to faith in Christ. We're recipients of your great grace. We ask that you would help us to discharge our ministry and our stewardship in a way that is pleasing to you. We're looking for a great year. If you would tarry, we ask that this year would be one in which you would find us as individuals growing closer to you and the ministry that you have entrusted us with here at Bark River, that it would flourish. Protect it, bless it, and each one here in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter this morning. 2 Corinthians 8, every year I do at least one message on stewardship. I'm going to do one this year. Next week we'll jump back in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and continue on from there. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, both of those chapters are wonderful chapters that talk about the stewardship of giving, grace giving, if you would, the right response to grace. I want to look at the first 9 verses here in this 8th chapter and talk about those with you this morning. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor, participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he has previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love with which we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also." As we begin this new year, I would like to challenge you today in an area of life that is, I think, of great importance. It's something that all of us are accountable for. It's an area that individuals at times would rather not hear about, rather not talk about, maybe especially from their pastor. A lot of pastors will skirt this issue as well for various reasons. But it's an issue that Jesus taught on more than any other, and it's something that you and I deal directly with every day. You and I are stewards. We are stewards. That is, we are managers of that which God has entrusted us with. Now, a steward is one who manages something that someone else has given them charge over. Well, what God has entrusted us with, 4 things particularly, time, treasure, talent, and truth. All of us are accountable to God in these areas. The one that I want to address today is that of treasure, especially as it pertains to giving to the work of the Lord. This doesn't just include money. It goes way beyond that. It's with my time and my effort and how I love people and what I'm willing to do, all those things. Why am I doing this? Well, every shepherd's accountable to God. That's me. I'll give an account to him. Hebrews 13:17 tells us that. So I have an obligation to the Lord and to you to convey to you this truth, the counsel of God, to the best of my ability. I don't want that anyone who ever attended Clark River Bible Church and was under the ministry that God has entrusted to me would stand before the Lord one day, and when it comes to being a steward and how and what I would do with my money and time and so forth, would never have heard a message from the Word of God considering that. So this is something that I need to discharge, but I believe it can be of great benefit and joy to you. Hopefully it will be that you will be storing up treasure in heaven with great reward when you stand before the Lord one day. I want to say to you this morning that giving, though, is really an overflow of the grace that God has given us. Giving is just that. It's an overflow of grace. We've been saved. Think about it. If you know Christ today, you and I came to faith in Him and it was as a result of His grace in our lives. Now, that grace that is so wonderful, so amazing, it doesn't just stop there. It continues that God will pour that grace into us as we grow and as we serve and as we begin to be the people that He's called us to be. So giving really is an overflow of God's grace in our lives. And I think if we get it, if we really understand what God has done, we will be gracious givers. There is Paul writes to these believers in Corinth. He reminds them of grace. They were reminded of this. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me once again this morning. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They were reminded of grace. The apostles, he reminds them of these churches in Macedonia. Now, I believe that the church in Corinth had decided they were going to be part of giving. And he's encouraging them to follow through in what they had proposed to do. But he brings up an issue here. He says, I want you to know something about the grace that's at work in these churches. And I believe he's talking about Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. They were a giving group of people. And he says, I want to talk to you about that grace. They understood, these individuals of these churches, they understood grace. They knew that they were nothing before God if it were not for grace. That God reached down and saved them, and God continued to reach down through Christ and empower them to live as they were called to do. So I believe they understood grace, and they exercised this grace giving, if you would. He says about them, I want to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. They were those who had given, and they had given to the saints that were struggling in Jerusalem. And they were, these churches were known because of the way they responded to God's grace. And as far as Paul is concerned, that touched his heart. It ministered to him. I don't think it's a small thing or an insignificant thing that Paul mentions the churches of Macedonia. Neither do I think that it's a small or insignificant thing that you and I can be part of what God's doing in this fellowship and way beyond here. You know, I have to tell you, I'm thrilled, not just because I'm the pastor here, but I'm thrilled to be known that I'm from Bark River Bible Church. Because the ministry of this church isn't just here and in this community and surrounding communities. It goes way beyond here because of people that are faithful to discharge their stewardship in investing and giving toward the work of the Lord. They understood grace and they exercised grace. There were financial challenges to them in their giving. You might be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I really want to be involved more in this area of stewardship, and I'd really, really like that God would empower me through His grace to be perhaps more of a faithful giver or to be trusting Him more in this area. You don't know what's going on financially with me in these days, and I'm really struggling, we're struggling as a family, or whatever it is in this particular area. I want you to know that there were individuals here that Paul's talking about. Look at how he says this. In a great ordeal of affliction. This is when they gave. It was out of these circumstances. A great ordeal of affliction. Their abundance of joy and their deep poverty. Wow. What a contrast. They were hurting. It was difficult. Financially, they were strapped. But they said, you know what? That doesn't matter. Because of the work that God has done in us, somehow we're going to invest, we're going to do what we can do. And we're going to give. And there's going to be joy in our hearts when we do that. They were liberal in their giving. Beautiful picture here for all of us. It's certainly a matter of faith. But they were reminded of grace, and they abounded in this grace. It's putting God and His work foremost in our action and thoughts. Liberality here means generous. It means sincere or with sincerity. Now, I think we can be those kind of givers. I think we can be those kind of people that invest maybe either it's financially or with our time or even being entrusted with truth to share with a friend, whatever. When we think about the Lord in His life, in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul records our Lord's words, it's better to give than to receive. And there is a blessing, I have to tell you, when we discharge this stewardship in some way. And it's a blessing that I don't want any of us to miss. Someone once said, it's not what I would do if $1 million were my lot, it's what I am doing with the $10 that I've got. And that's really what it's about. You know, I'm reminded of when I read about these early Christians, I'm reminded of Jesus' observation in giving. It's found in Mark 12. Jesus sat in the temple one day and he was watching people give into the treasury. Turn there, if you would, Mark 12. Because I think there's something here with this widow that we need to grab. Mark 12. And I'd like us to see verses 41 to 44. And he sat down, that's Jesus, he sat down opposite the treasury. And he began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. You know, do you know the Lord watches us in all things? He does. He watches us in all things, from the way we interact with others, the way we speak to others, how I conduct myself when I'm beyond these walls. Here he's watching. He's watching how people are giving. We took an offering a moment ago. How many of us thought, you know, Lord sees this. I want to bring joy to His heart. I want to please Him. Not only does He see this, He knows all that He's entrusted me with. This is really who we're accountable to, right? It says he sat down opposite the treasury. He began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. Now, Jesus doesn't rebuke those rich for putting in large sums, but notice what he sees here. He sees a poor widow, verse 42, came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Really, in regard to all the other giving, it didn't add up to a whole lot. Verse 43, calling his disciples to him, he said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty. That's how those early churches were giving. When Paul says, here, I want to give you an example of God's grace powerfully at work in a believer's life, I want to mention these churches in Macedonia. They gave out of their poverty. This widow, Jesus looked at her and he uses the grace that she had, the demonstration of her faith. He points that out to the disciples and to you and I. He says, she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, all she had been, she had to live on. This was before the days of Social Security. Do you know who this woman was trusting? Fully? Before she ever gave that, she gave herself to God. All that she owned, all that she had. Look back here to verse 30 in this same chapter. Jesus has been asked by the scribes, what commandment is foremost of all? They've asked him, which one? And he says in verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Later on in this chapter, we see a woman who was loving God with all that she had. Now, I'm not saying that you put everything you have toward the Lord's work, but I won't say don't do it. I will say this. First of all, we need to entrust ourselves fully and wholly to God. That's what this whole issue of stewardship and giving is about. Does He have all of me? That's the question. Does He have all of me? Have I laid myself on the altar as a spiritual sacrifice and said, God, here I am. Everything I have is from Your good hand. All that I have is from Your grace. You've empowered me to think, to move, to work a job, whatever it is. It's all from You. And I have come to You through faith in Christ. And You've gloriously saved me by Your grace. And the question is, will I believe that He will empower me by this same grace to be used for His glory, to be used in the matter of giving? Well, they were reminded of grace. And I need to tell you, when we think about giving, whatever it is to God, this is where we start. We're reminded of grace, His grace in our life. Unbelievable. What a blessing. They were a testimony of grace. Notice verses 3 through 5. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. What a group. I have to tell you, they understood. These first century believers understood what it was to be gloriously saved by grace. And they understood that this is what they understood. They loved God so much that they needed to discharge this joy that was in their heart toward having an opportunity with other believers. It says they were just a testimony of grace in how they gave. Notice it was it's mentioned here in verse 3. It was beyond their ability. It was beyond their ability. And Paul said in verse 5, not as we expected. It kind of blew them away what they did for these saints. And I believe it was the saints in Jerusalem. So they were a testimony of grace in how they gave and why they gave. I want you to notice it was of their own accord. It was voluntary. Look at verse 3 again and 4. They gave beyond and they gave of their own accord. Begging us, that was part of it as well. They begged for the favor of participating in giving. So this was a real exercise of grace. They saw it was in how they gave and why they gave. It was voluntary. It was because they loved the Lord. And they're an example, too, of grace in their desire to give. Notice that they begged. They pleaded and implored Paul for the favor of giving. I have to ask you this question this morning. You who know the Lord and you've walked with Him for a while, let me ask you this. What would it be like in your life right now if we couldn't give, if we couldn't discharge this stewardship, if we gathered and we saw needs and we couldn't touch those, if the offering plate was passed and God said, you're dismissed from that, you do not have that opportunity. I think some of us would wither on the vine. I hope that would be true. Because what a blessing it is. They begged for this opportunity. That was their desire, was to plug into what God was doing and the abilities that He'd given them in the favor of being a part of this, the joy for participating. They wanted that. They said, Paul, look, we want to give. There's a need there. Can we give? We're begging you, imploring you to allow us to do that. What a beautiful picture of getting grace right. I'll take that as a big amen at that point. They were a testimony of grace in loving others. That's what else they were here. The church in Jerusalem was under a lot of persecution. Those believers were in need, and they desired to be a part of meeting that need. There was a love for the saints. Now listen, you can't say that you love God and you don't love His people. Those two things don't go together. If you love God, you'll love His people. If you love God, you'll love the body of Christ. You'll love His bride. You'll love His church. I believe if you love God, you're going to want to be a part, ministering to the glory of God and to others as well. There was a love for the saints here that moved their hearts to respond. They had to discharge the stewardship. But I believe this, they're a testimony of grace also in surrendering to God. Look at verse 5. This is key. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They surrendered to God. It was an act of worship for them. In giving to the Lord's work, one is giving of themselves to God from a heart that's moved, that's been touched, that's been transformed by His grace. It's a supreme act of worship. It's part of Acts 12, 1 and 2. Excuse me, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Worship, by the way, involves the whole of man. Whatever act of worship one is offering to God, it must come from giving himself first to Him as a living sacrifice. This may be an area in your life that you're really challenged in, or perhaps you're doing well in. If you're doing well, I want to say to you, excel still more. I want to say to you, it will be worth it to stand before the Lord one day and to see what He has done with what He's entrusted you to you. And if you're here today and you're thinking, I just don't know, I want to challenge you right here specifically to give yourself first to God. To give yourself over to Him. All that you have, all you've been entrusted with. Can you trust Him? Will He meet your needs? Will He supply the grace, the daily bread for you and I? I believe He absolutely will. Do you know something? This is interesting. This is the only area that I know of that God says to test me in. Malachi, the third chapter. He's challenging the people there. He says in verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out to you a blessing until it overflows. I'm not going to stand before you today and say that, you know, if you give, God will multiply that in your own life in a monetary way. I'm not going to say that. He might. I don't believe that's what it's talking about here. I think it's talking way beyond that. Friend, what would it be worth to be a part of a ministry of giving that went forward and it helped people? It led someone to Christ. You know, we give to the Operation Christmas Child. And those gifts go way out there. That's an investment. That's work. But you know what? I believe someday we're going to hear, probably not here on earth, that God moved through some of those gifts and made a difference in bringing someone to Himself, encouraging a church, encouraging the saints. I don't think you can put a price on that. Have you given yourself to God? And are you trusting Him? You know, these folks had very little, but they started somewhere. And I would challenge you to start somewhere. If it's, you know, if you don't regularly give to begin someplace, you will benefit from it. I don't have time for all that I'd like to say here today, but look at the ninth chapter here in 2 Corinthians. There's a principle in giving that's mentioned in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He takes something that people are very familiar with. You know, if you work a garden up and you throw two seeds in it, you're not going to have much. But if you work a garden up and you sow with abundance, you're going to reap bountifully. And then verse 7, each one must do just as he has purposed. And he's saying to those believers, look, you said you were going to be a part of giving to a particular, I believe it was in helping those saints out. You need to do so. And then he says this, do it just as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly. You know, I want to stand before you today, and my purpose isn't to put you in a corner. and to say, you know, this is your responsibility. Shame on you if you don't. And, you know, really pin you there and say, you need to start doing this now. If I do that and you give in that way, I think we both lost here. But this is, Paul says, look, don't give sparingly. You do it bountifully. Each one do as you purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. You're not going to give because the pastor stood up and said you need to. No. You're going to give because you're a recipient of God's great grace. And He has been bountiful with you in saving your soul. Now He's entrusted you as a steward, and you exercise that steward. Look, it says, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'll tell you what. What a joy to give. What a joy to give. And look, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance of every good deed. There's a blessing there. That God will work through you in such a way as there's lots of good that you can be doing. And what a joy to give. Don't do it grudgingly, under compulsion, not because you have to, because there's this deep desire in you to do so. And if that's going to happen, I believe we need to understand some things, that this is all of grace. And giving needs to be an overflow of that. I need to give myself first and foremost to God. Let me finish up here. In the 8th chapter, again, a couple of verses I want you to see, 7 and 8, that they were overflowing in grace. Verse 7, I believe, is just vital. But just as you abound in everything, in faith, he mentioned these, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you. You're overflowing in them, he says. See that you abound in this gracious work also. You know, it's really important that we get our doctrine right. And we understand rightly about the theology of God and so forth. And that we're explaining these things. We're living these things. We're exercising love. That is vital in a body of Christ. You notice the apostle puts this right up with all those other things? This is vital. Abound in this gracious work also. And then verse 8, I'm not speaking this as a command, no, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. Do you know that this love, that the way a person responds to grace and gracious giving, it proves, or I believe disproves, one's love for God? Prove, he's saying, prove your love. Prove your love. I think if we look at what God has entrusted us with and we see where all of it's going, there ought to be a steady stream into the work of God. I think it proves what we say, that we love Him. You know, if we really are serious about something, some project or some event or something we want to get involved in, not only is there going to be time, but there's going to be involvement monetarily there as well. And this proves our love for that. Here it proves our love for God. I need to say that I believe God has poured out a lot of grace on this body to do so many things, to allow us to invest in so many different ways in ministries and people's lives. And that's been something that's been a great joy to me since, you know, the time that we've had with you. And I want to see that continue. And if you're here and you're not a part of that, I want to say you're missing out on a real blessing. And it has eternal consequences of reward as well. I want to see you do well on that end of it. Well, giving really is an overflow of grace. And I want to encourage you in it. Don't miss this blessing. Don't miss that God wants to empower you to be a part of giving. And there is wonderful, wonderful joy that comes with that. I hope you're this. I can think of someone right now. I'm not going to mention a name. I can think of someone right now who, if you go to their home or they come to your home, this person has been stirred by God and they are very unique. You cannot go to that home without leaving with something, whether you want it or not. And they will not come to your home without giving you something, whether you need it or not. And I just love this about this person, not that part of this, you know, this gift or whatever that is. I love the heart there. It's a heart that's been touched by God. And I hope that we all can be something like that for His glory. We're heading into a new year here, and I want to just finish with. I thought I was going to finish with something, and it's working still. I just want to give you this blessing, something I came across, and this is a blessing on you folks for the new year, and then I'll pray, and you will be dismissed. This is out of Numbers 6, and I love what God does here. This is His heart. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace." This is from Moses to the sons of Israel, but it came from God. And that's God's heart toward His people. Loving Father, thank You. When we think about giving, we certainly think of Your heart toward us. We think of our Lord Jesus and His heart toward us. Thank You that He's the example of what it is to give, and You are as well in the sending of Your Son. And we understand giving even greater when we look at Him and understand it's better to give than to receive. And did He ever give? What a blessing for us to receive. Father, I pray for each of us. This is a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. When we see the widow in her might, she gave all of herself first to You. And then to the ministry. Help us to be those kind of people that our hearts are just stirred and there's great joy in discharging this aspect of our stewardship. Father, thank You how You've supported this ministry through the years. And we look at what You're doing now, and we just need to say thanks. And You're doing that through individuals that have been touched by Your grace. And it's been abundant. And it's been beautiful. And You've allowed us to just enter into different ministries and touch people all over the world in some way because of it. Father, help us to excel still more. Bless Your people powerfully in this new year as they go about as in the priesthood of the believer, ministering. May this be one area that You grow them and all of us in as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Please let me get to the back first.